The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Well, a blessed Thanksgiving to you all, and happy Thanksgiving, and well wishes from our family here at Trinity to all of you. I'm glad none of you blew away on the way in here, and for those of our brothers and sisters who might have blown away on their way here today, we pray for them. So it was quite the day. Yeah, we give thanks. Today is a day that we give thanks. And we have this story in the gospel reading of the 10 lepers who are healed by Jesus. And only one of them gives thanks. In fact, today the gospel reading is specifically about 90% don't give thanks. And a lot of times I think it's easy to condemn the 9 and try to relate ourselves to the 1. And when we say, well, if I was healed like that, I would give thanks too. If I was healed so miraculously, I would be at the feet of Jesus also saying, "Thank you, Lord." But I think there is more to the story that drove the one Samaritan to give thanks than simply the healing of his body. I think there's something deeper going on here that we shouldn't miss. And that's found out when we ask the question, what is the nature of Jesus' healings? What is the purpose of it? And if we go earlier in Luke and kind of survey through the gospel, we see this interesting pattern form. In Luke 5, there's a leprous man who comes up to Jesus and says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus looks at this man and he says, "I will be clean." And in that moment, this man who was leprous is immediately healed. Now, leprosy is a horrible skin condition where the skin is quite literally almost falling off the body after becoming greatly deformed. And so if you can just imagine what that would be like to have this skin that's just a plague in and of itself, and in a moment it's smooth and beautiful. When for years everyone had told him how ugly he was, and he was actually then cast out into communities of leprous people that weren't allowed to associate with the rest of the community, of the culture of the time. And Jesus takes this man and he heals him, and then he sends him to the priests. But this cleanliness he experiences is an outward sign of what I believe is going on inwardly. And the reason I believe that is because the very next thing that happens in Jesus' ministry after the cleansing of this leprous man is it says Jesus keeps healing. He keeps healing these crowds. And he would heal as much as he would, and then he would get tired and he would remove himself to a desolate place to pray by himself for a while. And it's in the midst of this that there's these friends that carry their one friend who is paralyzed to Jesus, who can't walk. And they must have seen the line, and the line must have been quite incredible. And they thought to themselves, well, we don't want to miss an opportunity. We don't want Jesus to go out to the desolate place to pray tonight before we get our chance. So their friends take their friend in a mat and bring him up and remove the roof from the house that Jesus is healing in and lower their friend down before Jesus. And you know what they're expecting. They're expecting a miracle. They're expecting their paralyzed friend to now be able to walk. And instead, Jesus looks at him and he says, your sins are forgiven. It seems a bit of a letdown, doesn't it? It doesn't help him walk. But we miss the spectacular nature of what Jesus said in that moment if we don't have the Pharisees to help us reflect. The Pharisees start accusing Jesus of blasphemy, saying that only God can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. And so Jesus says, so what is easier, to tell someone your sins are forgiven or to tell someone rise and walk? Now think of our own life. We hear your sins are forgiven all the time. It's almost second nature to us. We've already said it in the Eucharist already, in the liturgy of the word. We'll say it again and again, I forgive you your sins. We speak that forgiveness to each other all the time. And sometimes forgiveness itself becomes a little ho-hum. It loses that spectacular nature of what's going on. But what Jesus said is very fascinating. What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven or rise and walk? Because I can tell you your sins are forgiven. It's easy to say that. And there's nothing that really shows outwardly one way or the other if it's true or not. But if I would look at someone paralyzed and say, rise and walk, well, now that's bordering on mockery, isn't it? But Jesus does this fascinating thing. He inverts the way we think about it. Which is easier? You say your sins are forgiven or to say rise and walk? Even think the world we live in today. We have technology and medication that can allow people of many diseases and illnesses and infirmities and disabilities to overcome those. It's amazing how much of what Jesus even experienced in his own ministry we could treat now with modern medicine. Yet no amount of advancement in technology, no technology advancements over the course of human history have ever been able to forgive sins. And so Jesus looks at them and he says, to show you I have the power to forgive sins, because they know that only God has that power. To show you I have the power to forgive sins, he looks at the man, he tells him, pick up your mat and go home. And the man does. He takes his mat, he walks, and he goes home with his friends. But the nature of the healing was not so the man could walk. The nature of the healing was to show that Jesus has the power to forgive sins. And then that outward sign of the body being healed signifies the inward change of his soul. In John 9, there's a man who's born blind, and they ask, is this man blind because of his parents' sin or because of his sin? And Jesus says, neither. This adult man who had spent his whole life blind, years and years blind, was born this way so that in this moment, the work of God may be displayed. And after he heals them, they argue. They argue amongst themselves, how can a sinner do such great signs? But Jesus isn't a sinner. We know this. He's the one who takes away the sins of the world. He is the one who has the authority to forgive sin. Jesus told the 10 leprous men to go to the priests. The priest's role was to offer sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. And so when they are cleansed, they continue on their way to the priest to receive the forgiveness of sins within the temple that they weren't allowed to go into because they were leprous. But the one man turns around because he knows that Jesus, when he healed him, healed more than his body, more than the outward appearance of himself. That Jesus is the great high priest that heals the very stain of sin that was upon him. That the healing goes more than the skin. It's inside of him. Jesus heals the whole person. The Samaritan comes to know that he is God. And he then comes in a posture of thankfulness. He falls on his knees. He falls upon his face. And he says, thank you, Jesus. Not some, you know, when you get that present and your parents are trying to, don't forget to say thank you, and you're like, thank you. Not that. Like, falling on your face, thankfulness for all God had done for him. Why are we here today on Thanksgiving? It is not a church holiday, but thankfulness ties us into what it means to be children of God. Today we come to receive a meal which offers the forgiveness of sins, which is a far greater healing than even any healing our bodies could experience. And so often I think we come even casually and we're like, oh, thank you, you know, that's nice, that's great, thanks a lot, Jesus, I appreciate it. But do we fall upon our faces before our Lord and say thank you? The very service we're at tonight, we call it a Eucharist. It comes from the Greek eucharisteo, which means thanks, thankfulness, to be thankful. And so even this meal is a meal of thankfulness. Tomorrow and in the coming days, you will consume so much food. There will be turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy and cranberry sauce and stuffing with more gravy. And then you put gravy on top of the gravy. Someone told me, or I overheard someone that is going to be doing steaks for Thanksgiving. I love it. That's what I'm talking about. We're wrapping our turkey in bacon because bacon, right? We're going to eat so much food, and then after we eat the food, the next day we get to warm it all up again and eat more of it, and it's so good. So good. But out of all the food we're going to consume this weekend, none is more important than the meal we're going to consume tonight. Because while that food is great, and while it will bring us together, and we will share memories of the past year, and we will laugh and enjoy ourselves, it cannot forgive sins. And in a moment, you're going to hear Jesus say, take and drink. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. The true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And you come before this altar of God bearing all types of burdens. All types of even physical ailments. And this is the reality. Jesus may not tonight take away your cancer. Or take away diabetes. Or dementia or Alzheimer's. Or anxiety or depression. He may not. He may not take away the past pain you have and hurt you carry from sufferings inflicted upon you. But tonight he will take away your sins as far as the east is from the west. And for some of us in our life, we experience this where he does take away those pains or those illnesses or sufferings. It happens. But let us not rejoice in those moments. Let us use those moments to tell a story of a God who saves us, who heals more than the body, but heals the very soul itself. Because the God who does this, who heals our souls, is one who then promises to sit with you in your suffering, to sit with you in your pain, and then surrounds you with saints who do that alongside you. Even as we sit together tonight, and I'm glad we weren't completely spread out to the far reaches of the church, we kind of got closer together tonight because the very people you're sitting around now, Jesus has placed in your life to sit with you in your sufferings, to bring his healing grace and word into those moments. And so we give thanks. Because he's given us so much more than we can even comprehend. So often we're like, God, I would be more thankful if you just did a little bit more. And we have lost sight that he has already done for us the greatest thing. So give thanks tomorrow. Thanksgiving's hard. Tomorrow you're going to be surrounded by family members in a really small room. and it has a habit of bringing out the worst, right? Everything boils to the top. Anyone else ever have that happen Thanksgiving? As those past wounds might surface tomorrow or in the coming days or weeks, allow Christ to enter there and be the healer. In those moments, we give thanks because we know we are forgiven in Christ. And we give thanks because we know He has forgiven those who have sinned against us. And we give thanks because we know He cleanses us. We might not have leprosy, but there is an ugliness inside of us that Jesus comes and purifies. He heals us. And so we give thanks. There's one more thing I just want to chew on for a second. If Jesus knew the other nine wouldn't come back and give thanks, why did He heal them? Why would He heal them if He knew 90% of them weren't going to come back? Because He loves them. And He loves you. All those times we failed to give thanks, all those times we failed to be grateful. I mean, how often have we done that? We've grumbled instead of saying, "Thank you, Lord, for this moment." His mercies never stop when we fail to give thanks, because He still loves us and we are still His children. And so whatever past sins and burdens and pains you're carrying Him, today we leave Him at the altar of Christ. And we allow Him to take them and heal them. We cry out, "Lord, cleanse me, have mercy upon me." And we know He is true and faithful in this meal to do just that. And so as a family of faith tonight, we gather and we receive this meal so that Christ can heal us, not just on the outside, but within our very souls. And we give thanks because there is no greater gift we could receive this Thanksgiving than the life He offers to us and the family He's given us to gather together as the body of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.